Hey guys, Dr. Z, it's Sunday, which means we need to get our namaste on. You know what I'm saying? Because I got to say, I don't know about y'all, but it's real easy. I'm going to wait for you guys to come in before I get too deep into this. It's real easy for us to get up in our heads during crazy times, even during not crazy times, because our heads, our mind, our human mind is designed to solve problems, to anticipate threats, to worry, to prognosticate, to project into the future, to regret into the past. Oh, crap. You know what? This was supposed to be just for supporters. And I realized I went live to the entire world. Somebody needs to get out of his own head. Well, then let's do this. I ain't backing down now. So guys in the wide, wide world, this is actually what my supporter tribe would get on a Sunday. So we would talk about things that I'm interested in and that some of them are interested in. So you may or may not be interested in meditation, but I certainly am. And I got into it roughly 8 years ago when I left the Bay Area and first moved to Las Vegas. And I was so anxious and up in my own ego and head and type A and always been accomplishment minded and had gone from, you know, 3 years of UC Berkeley to 4 years of UCSF to 3 years of Stanford residency to 10 years of career as a hospitalist without even taking a breath, and realizing pretty soon that you can accomplish all these things and you can continue to grasp at stuff. Oh, I got an Acura. Dang, that's kind of awesome. I've always wanted a luxury car. It's actually luxury light, but for me, it was amazing. You know, when I was 30, I bought this car and then I got a house and then I had kids. And with each sort of accomplishment came a sense of, well, am I any happier for this? Like, what's going on? And now is a great time to kind of look at what's going on in society. Everybody's up in their own head. We're driven by fear. We're divided. We're anxious and frightened and angry and stir crazy. And we look at the world and go, what's wrong with the world? And why is there so much injustice? And why is there so much economic upheaval? And why is there racism? And why is there anger? And why is there hate? Never really realizing that there's a place that all these things come from, and it isn't outside of you. All of the world that we experience comes from us. You know, there's a saying that it's one world with 7 billion different worlds within it, or one planet with 7 billion different worlds. Everybody is creating their own way of perceiving, reacting, and dealing with the world. And so 8 years ago, I realized I could step out of my being caught in this movie of my life and actually wake up a bit to actually watch it and go, oh, this is what my mind is doing. This is what anger feels like, or this is what jealousy feels like, or this is what sadness feels like when you're watching it from a kind of neutral standpoint, non-judgmentally, watching it arise, and more importantly, watching it dissipate. Because the less you get wrapped up and forget what you actually are, which is that witnessing awareness, the more you continue to perpetuate the same bad patterns of thought that are causing you suffering. So meditation was my way of starting the process of waking up. And it's a process, it's a journey. And I started back in 2012, and it was kind of a dumb thing, actually. And I'm a little embarrassed about this because, you know, I'm not much of I don't have much tolerance for pseudoscience, and I'm a big time skeptic, not particularly religious in that way, right? And somebody in Las Vegas was like, bro, you got to check out The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I was like, dumb. Like, this sounds like some new age mumbo jumbo, right? Like, I'm having none of this. Just to humor him, I got the audiobook. And Eckhart Tolle is this, you know, spiritual teacher. He's been on Oprah, you know, like, so already I'm like, Dr. Oz alert, like, this is going to suck, right? Well, I listened to what he had to say in that first audiobook, The Power of Now. And I was awakened to this idea that I had never really considered. It's a platitude, but it's actually a real deep truth about our experience. It only happens now. In other words, all that is, all that was, all that will be, every emotion, everything that's ever happened in the entire universe, in all time, has happened now, in this present moment. In this present moment, the past is just a memory. It's an etching, something we recall in the now moment. The future is an anticipation that we recall in the now moment. So in the setting of that, if you can focus, get out of the mind's perpetually habitual process of reliving the past and projecting into the future and realize, I'm right here, right now, you can watch the quality of your experience in any given moment and realize it arises and it passes away like clouds in a blue sky. And there's nothing to grasp to, there's nothing to cling to. And all this time you start to realize slowly, you wake up to the fact, and Eckhart Tolle was just the sort of the wedge for me. Then I read Sam Harris's book, Waking Up, A Guide to Spirituality Without Religion, because I didn't have really a religious tradition to rely upon for any kind of spiritual pursuit like meditation, where you're trying to figure out what are the deeper sort of experiences of consciousness. And, you know, I've talked about psychedelics and stuff in the past on the show. That was sort of early on, I kind of had this glimpse. But meditation was a way to stop, pay attention to your experience in the present moment, and understand that you're not your thoughts. You're not your emotions. You're not your body. You're not even your mind, where your mind is thoughts, sensations, memories, emotions, feelings, those kind of things. That's not actually what you are. Now, how can you say that? And again, spiritual teachers for millennia have been saying exactly this across traditions. What that means is, if you look in your experience through meditation, if you just pay attention to paying attention, be aware of being aware, what you'll realize is the thing that you're calling you, this little imaginary mini-me in your head that makes decisions and feels hurt and doesn't feel worthy and is regretting something you said to somebody and is worried about the future, or is worried about becoming homeless because they don't have a job, or is depressed because they're stuck in the past, reliving and regretting, or anxious because they're worried about the future, you know, worrying and anticipating something, some failure in the future. It turns out you, when you watch that, you go, well, is that me? Because that's constantly changing. And what is it that's aware of that? Wow, you can actually watch that happening in the mind and go, well, if I can be aware of it, then the I that's aware can't be that. It can't be sad. The thing that's aware itself isn't sad or depressed. It is witnessing sadness and depression. And through meditation, you can actually start to step back through these layers of self that we construct since we were kids, because that's how we're raised, right? It's like, oh no, little Billy, you're not an oceanic sea of open awareness where everything's just arising. You are Billy. Look in the mirror. You see that face? It's you. You're separate from every experience around you and from other people. And what happens is the mind starts to learn that. It develops, and psychologists have described this in children. They get a sense of I, of self, of separation, a healthy kind of ego, right? Like, I'm different than mom. I'm not just everything, right? And actually, that's part of healthy development. But what happens is, and especially as we become teenagers, this overlay that our mind creates of a face and a name and an identity and a personality and even a gender and a career and all these things, they are in the present moment constructions of your mind that are overlaid into the open field of awareness that you are. And you forget that you're the open field of awareness, and this is arising within you, this sense of self, this character of who you are, your face, your image you project to the world. And you forget that, and you think, I am that. And feel this for a second. In any given moment, when I'm talking to you, I can feel in my mind a face here that I'm projecting to you. But as a matter of my own direct experience, there's no face that I'm experiencing. You're seeing this icon, right? But all I see is open stuff. I see a camera. I see my laptop. I see a table. I see lights. There's no face. There's no me. There's just stuff arising. But very quickly, my mind goes, and the me, the Zubin, starts to form. And I start to interact with you from the place of this contracted little self, me against the world with all my problems and all my baggage and all my defenses and all my stress. And that then changes how I interact with you because I'm coming from a place of separateness and self-contraction. Now, again, I'm kind of pointing out in this talk, which again, I don't prepare these things. They just kind of come out based on a meditative experience I've had in the morning, right? I'm trying to point to these bigger picture issues. I'm not giving you specific instructions yet on how to meditate. I'm saying this is kind of how our mind works in my experience and in the experience of many meditators that are much more advanced than I. I've only been doing it for 8 years and only seriously for the last two where I've really gotten quite diligent and had really profound experiences of selfless awareness, right? So we constantly construct this self in every second, and meditation is a way to watch that happen. You can see, like even if you're doing a simple meditation, like focusing on the breath, as you're focusing on the breath, there comes a time in that meditation for some people where all there is the breath arising and disappearing in a present moment. It's coming from nowhere, the sensations of the breath, not the concept of the breath that we overlay with lungs and alveoli and trachea and movement of air. That's all conceptual stuff that our mind throws on after the fact. The raw experience of the sensations of breathing, when you get practiced on this, and it is a practice, it does take diligence. It is like something you have to do every day. When you experience those raw sensations of the breath and watch them arise and disappear, you get a true insight into the nature of the mind. The mind itself, meaning the overlays that we create that our human mind produces, start to calm down. And for a second, you see the stillness that underlies all experience. It's the open potential awareness, for lack of a better term. There's lots of kooky mystical terms for it, but we'll call it awareness for lack of a better term, is there behind everything. And you experience the world from and as this open potential. Experience arises in the present moment and fades away, which means there's nothing to grasp at because you can't hold on to anything. You can't be hurt because the you from which all this arises is like a mirror. It's not tarnished by the reflection of upsetting images in it. It's open and it's inclusive and it's shared by all creatures that have any awareness. So if you think about that, you and I share this fundamental truth that we are this awareness that manifests in all this experience that we have. And meditation is a way to directly experience that. Why listen to me telling you this? That's no different than a preacher telling you, hey, a bunch of thousand years ago, a prophet came down and said this stuff, and you'd better just believe me. Meditation's interesting in that you don't have to believe anybody. You just have to go and do it. And when you have the direct experience that I'm talking about, you'll see, is this something that I want to explore more? And I'll tell you, for me, and again, I speak from my own experience, when I have those experiences in meditation, this is how I feel. There is nothing that I would rather be doing than having these experiences of what the true nature of ourself is. Because by knowing that, we can then experience the world as that, which means love is the rule, not the exception. Fear is something you can still experience deeply. In fact, every single emotion is something you can experience profoundly and deeply and in the most human possible way, in a way that would have been unbearable for you to experience without knowing who and what you truly are, because the human identification with emotion would not allow you to bear that degree of feeling, whether it's love, fear, sorrow. You couldn't bear it. But what happens now is not only do you bear it, you feel it intensely and it releases. Because nothing ultimately can tarnish what you are. You are that experience itself and you release it, because like everything, except for the fundamental nature of what you are, it's transient. Nothing to grasp, nothing to push away. It just is in the present moment. Now look at the world that we live in now. We're terrified. I'm about to interview in 20 minutes. I'm about to interview Dr. Monica Gandhi again. And we're going to talk about fear. She's a world-leading researcher on masks and infectious disease doc at UCSF. And she's like, we need to stop living in fear. Fear is something that if we identify with it, if we feel like all of this is actually more important than what's inside us and how we perceive the world, we won't make a world that we want. We won't project into the world what we actually want to see. We will get the world that we imagine in our heads, which is driven by fear, divided, and broken. And doesn't it feel that way now? COVID-19, this whole thing, has brought to light our own inner failures to understand who and what we are. We've let externalities drive our inner experience instead of the other way around. So this morning, and this will, again, throw some people for a loop. They'll just be like, what's he talking about? But I can only tell you the experiences that I have in meditation. And the experience that I had this morning, I was listening to a meditation by Adya Shanti, who's a Bay Area guy. What I like about him is he's kind of a atheist spiritualist Zen guy. And, you know, he'll use words like God to describe the awareness that we all are. And I love it. It's beautiful. It'll give you goosebumps. It's lovely. And you can be a skeptic and a scientist, or you can be a Christian, or you could be a Muslim and still have that experience. And so the meditation that he did that I was taken through this morning via headphones was one where you connect with the pure awareness, the divine ground. He calls it the divine ground of being. You don't have to use spooky words like that. You can just say that empty, open awareness, that awakeness that we all fundamentally are. And as you go through that, as I went through that meditation, this is what I experienced. Sitting on a couch in my garage, eyes open. You can expand where you're focusing your attention. Meditation is a directing of your attention. Instead of allowing attention to be captured by every distraction, you train your mind to focus on whatever the meditation is asking you to focus on. If it's the breath, then it's the breath. In this case, the meditation was walking you through a path. Notice sensations in the body. Notice the empty space around the body. Notice vision coming to you as an experience, just seeing. Not a seer and the seen, just seeing, just the awareness of visual stuff. And then step back. What's behind you? What happens to your visual field at the edges of your vision? I don't know about you, but for me, it tapers into emptiness. There's not a sudden line where it disappears. The experience of being me is I see a visual field that looks oval and it tapers into nothing behind me. If I actually open my awareness to experience that and walk it back to the empty space behind me, you can, with practice, at least I did, have an experience of pure, empty, conscious awareness without content prior to the arising of body, face, world, self, sound, thoughts, just floating in this field of awareness. And it all comes from this empty, infinite, timeless potential that is beyond the mind. You can't describe it in words. I tried just now. Did it work? Probably not. But it might evoke in you the experience in your own meditation. And that's what Adyashanti does in this meditation. He evokes with his words. He walks you through from the space itself. So he is talking from this open awareness. And that brings you directly into the experiential space of this nothing, no thing. That open potential space is the space from which all experience, all things, thoughts, emotions, the world arise in every moment. From that common space that we all share, that I suspect animals share. It's the potential for all things. And meditation, the meditation I experienced this morning, allowed me to experience that. You can't think about it. It's not an intellectual construct. That is what comes after that. Emptiness, the world emerges, the mind emerges, the mind struggles with what is this, tries to conceptualize it, fails, relaxes, becomes it. Goes, come back into the mind and just go, what the hell was that? And that touching the open infinity that we actually are, I think is one of the highest experiences you can possibly have, because when you realize that everything then is connected to this, it all emerges from this, you're like, well, how? We all share this beautiful thing? Well, nothing can hurt me. Really? Really it can't. Why am I not loving everybody and everything and trying to see all perspectives and trying to understand from the middle way what's going on in the world? I can still be me. I can still have my personality and my passion and my own struggle, but that exists within me. And I can experience the joy and the heartache of that without getting lost in the sauce, without losing myself in the movie and forgetting that I'm the light projected on that screen. You can't hurt that, but I'm getting lost in the experience of it. And meditation wakes you up to that. And the more you do it, the more it pervades your regular life, so that you will stand in the worst, most boring meeting of your life talking about COVID preparedness and how we're short on PPE and how this and that, and it's election year and Trump said this and Biden said that, and all of a sudden you'll go, oh my God, I'm infinite, undying, eternal, timeless awareness. and all of this is just arising in the present moment. And don't you love it? Isn't it beautiful? What amazingly complex and incredibly nuanced creatures we are as humans. And oh my God, I can't even imagine what it's like to be a dragonfly. What would that experience be like? And that exists in the same potentiality as me. And I tell you, I don't think there's anything that's on offer in a human experience that is more powerful and more able to color your daily experience in a way that allows you very quickly to let go of things that hurt you. So, and you know, and again, I think that listening to really good meditation instructors evoke these practices is so important, because it can then take you beyond the intellectual processing of it and open in your mind this gateway that we all possess. And I've heard people say, well, I have ADHD, can I meditate? And the answer is, not only can you better, because ADHD is an attention issue. Meditation is practicing the direction of attention. Now, does it actually help your daily life? Well, I'll tell you. Let me walk you through something that just happened to me the other day, and it's happening increasingly. I am a very self-referential thinker, meaning, woe is me. Oh, did my video offend people, and now I'm a bad person and people hate me? Or, you know, we put a lot of work into this video and no one cares about it, and God darn it, I'm worthless. So that's self-referential thinking. I'm worthless. This little contracted Zubin with the face that I put on for the world that's not real in my own experience. It's open awareness, but this is what I contract to and get lost in. And I have those thoughts, and I'll be walking around the house, open my phone, see a tweet, immediately feel this, And you know what happens? That never would have happened before I started meditating. The following. Oh, look at that. Little Zubin mind is flipping out over something that means nothing, that's transient, and is getting lost. Stop it, little Zubin mind, relax. And you know what happens? It does. It just goes away. You let it go. It's the most remarkable thing, you guys. Like, I cannot tell you how life-changing that is, especially for a type A neurotic overachiever wannabe whose ego is dependent on accomplishment. My God, you guys. Now, it doesn't matter who you are, what your own baggage is, that little constellation of personality, this level of consciousness. That is, it's just awareness in a different form. I can't tell you what yours is, and I can't tell you how to let go of your own baggage, but I can tell you that the tools are there, the same tools, and it doesn't happen overnight. You got to work at it. It's like brushing your teeth every day, if it's even 5 minutes. There was a point where I was meditating about an hour every morning. I'd get up at 4 to do it because it was that important. And you know what? I got tired of that. I started finding a lot of unconscious stuff was arising, and it was making me more angry during the day, more reactive, but I needed to go through that because my ego defenses had dropped through meditation, and I became worse, more reactive, more. And my team was like, what's wrong with you? Well, the next thing I did was I shifted the meditation because I said, okay, this unconscious material is arising. How can I bear that? How will I tolerate that? Instead of focusing on breath, focus on awareness itself. Different meditation. Locke Kelly, great meditation teacher. Listen to his stuff. Adyashanti. You change, the practice changes. There's no one size fits you even for the whole thing. So, and again, I meant to do this video just for our supporter tribe, the subscribers, but I accidentally went live to the whole thing, and I'm glad, because I think if that draws in some more people that want to talk about this stuff that isn't for everybody, it's not our main brand. This isn't my brand on the channel to talk about meditation and spirituality. Ooh, right? And yet, we're living in a time when it's the only thing that matters, that will save us. Fauci's not going to save us. The CDC's not going to save us. People walking around not wearing masks aren't going to save us. People walking around wearing masks aren't going to save us. We have to look inside and realize the us we're trying to save is the same us. And when we do that, automatically, there's a kind of loving kindness and understanding that emerges, even in the most broken personalities. So it matters that we do this. It really does. Now, I'm in a good headspace to interview Monica, who's going to show up in a few minutes. I will record that and put it out this afternoon. To everybody who supports our show, thank you. We're trying to transcend the mess that is social media and make it live up to the potential that it holds, which means that people who want to be here will be here. And there'll still be in the wide open internet like this, dumb comments, trolls, the whole nine. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Focus on what matters to you. And if you wanna be a part of that supporter tribe, that's great too. And honestly, I'm gonna focus more and more of my attention on them, because I feel like they are agents of change in the world. There's about now 7,800 of them. And they are activists in their own way, activists of the alt-middle that I'm espousing. So I love you guys. Thank you for being with me on a Sunday morning. Please tune in later today for Monica's interview. I will try to put this up on YouTube as well. And we are out. Peace.